So just out of curiosity, how many of you are aware that we've been in a sermon series that has a theme to it? And what's that theme? What? Gallbladder. Ann Yenny wishes she was a stand-up comic. Yeah, we're on this this series called Matters of the Heart. And the two aspects of that are, what's the heart of our faith in Christianity? It's really easy for us to get things that are not really at the heart of things and make them more important than anything else. And what we want to do is keep going back to, let's keep the main thing the main thing. And the second one is, what about our hearts? What's the condition of our hearts? Scripture says we're to guard our hearts. And part of guarding our hearts is guarding the gospel, but also guarding the kind of the condition of our hearts and how we receive circumstances and people and truth and all those different kinds of things. So that's what we've been talking about. Most recently, we've been talking about the need to be born from above, to be born again, to be given a new heart. I wasn't here last week. I was in California, but Kathy preached. Kathy, what did you preach on last week?
Sin and salvation.
Sin and salvation, which has to do with a transformed heart. God does something with our hearts. This morning we're going to talk about the heart of shalom. We use the term shalom here a lot because we have a team of people who pray for others. It's called the shalom ministry. What does shalom mean? Well, it's most easily translated as peace, but oftentimes we get it wrong when we just say the word peace, because then we think that, well, shalom is the absence of conflict. But that's not what shalom is. Shalom is not the absence of conflict. It is, in fact, the presence of all things good for the flourishing of human beings and the entire world, the world itself. When we do a community garden out here, that's partly an effort to introduce shalom into our world. When we pray for individuals, it's an effort to allow God to bring shalom into that person's life or maybe their family's life. When we pray for this church, when it's in difficulty, it's an effort to pray for shalom. So this morning I'm going to talk about shalom, but I'm going to talk about it in a particular way. And to get us started, I want to read a passage that's familiar. We've talked about this in other contexts many, many times. Mark 1:14-15. Later on, after John was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus went to Galilee to preach God's good news. He announced, "At last the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Turn from your sins and believe this good news." Father, I ask that you'd help us to open our ears, our minds, our hearts to you this morning, that you would soften our hearts, that we would not have hard hearts. That as Anna talked about at the beginning of the service, that we would prepare ourselves to be receptive to what it is that you want to say to us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need to be born from above. We need to be born again. We need a transformed heart. We need to deal with the sin in our lives and let God deal with the sin in our lives so that salvation comes to us, not just sometime off in the future, but even now. And here in this passage is the heart of the matter, the good news of Jesus the Messiah. And it's about the kingdom of God. So if you get nothing else this morning, get this, that the good news is both about what happens with us personally, but also what happens in the world politically. It's what happens to us as an individual, but it's also what God wants to do with us corporately, not just as the church, but as the world. The good news of the kingdom of God addresses both the tragedy of our own personal brokenness and the nightmare of social injustice, and it expresses the passionate heart of God for shalom. And I'm going to use shalom today synonymously with the language of restorative justice. The God of love revealed in Jesus Christ has a passionate heart for our life together in the kingdom of God, which is marked by shalom, which is all about restorative justice. Again, I'm going to repeat what I said at the beginning. Shalom is not just the absence of conflict. It is the presence of all good things for the flourishing of people, along with all of creation. Shalom is in fact God's justice, which is different than the justice that we think of oftentimes. Oftentimes we think of justice is all about, well, if you do a crime, you need to pay for that crime. And that's what justice is. Well, there's a little bit of justice there. That's called punitive justice. And there's a place for punitive justice. But in the Bible, all punitive justice moves us toward restorative justice, what God wants to do in restoring humanity, restoring the world. So we sang this morning, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Didn't we? Didn't we sing that? Do you all remember singing that? I know it's more than 5 minutes ago, but... Well, there's another phrase, "that I might serve you." Well, what does serving him look like? If you read the full story of Scripture, serving him means bringing about restorative justice in the world. It means bringing about restorative justice in Bruce and Kathy's marriage. It means bringing about restorative justice in Bruce and Kathy's family. And not just the two of them and their kids, but their whole family. It means Bruce and Kathy being used of God, serving him, to bring about restorative justice in this congregation. It means using Bruce and Kathy to serve him so that they might be agents of restorative justice in Rock Rimmon, where they live. It means using Bruce to bring about restorative justice in the lives of people who come to him to be his clients as an accountant. It means using Bruce and Kathy to be two bit players in the big project of bringing about restorative justice in the whole world, in our nation. That's what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. If Christianity to you, and if the good news to you is that Jesus died on the cross so that you can go to heaven, you have a God that is way too small. Oh, that's true. But if that's all it is, you're missing 90% of what the Christian faith is all about. Often we think of God's justice as the deserved punishment for our sins, and therefore God's mercy is the opposite, his loving forgiveness for us in spite of our sins. So we deserve condemnation, but God is merciful, and so he forgives our sins. And that's what he does in Jesus on the cross. Well, if that's our view of justice, we miss shalom altogether. It distorts what is at the heart of God's justice in the Bible. In the Bible, the opposite of God's justice is not mercy. Mercy is a part of His justice. The opposite of God's justice is human injustice. It addresses the shape of our life together in societies, not whether God's mercy will supersede God's justice in the final judgment. In fact, His mercy is an expression of His justice, His restorative justice, His shalom. Human injustice did its best to destroy God's work on the cross, but God's restorative justice in Jesus absorbed all of that evil onto Himself, and that restorative justice prevailed over the injustice of humanity. Our culture here in America is just permeated with individualism. We're self-made men and women. As individuals, we get what we deserve. The status of our lives is a result of how responsibly we take advantage of the opportunities. And if people fail to take advantage of their opportunities, they get what they deserve. The culture of the Bible is different. It includes some of that, but it doesn't stop there. Life is much more complex. None of us in reality are self-made. We are the product of many factors beyond our control. Our genetics, our family, where we were born, when we were born, our education, a variety of different accidents in the story of our lives, our environment, the social systems, the political systems in which we live, they deeply affect every part of our lives in every way. And part of the impact of what we call the fall, Genesis chapter 3, is personal brokenness. So there's not a person here who doesn't have that brokenness in their lives, nor is there a person out there that doesn't have that brokenness in their lives. It just comes out in different ways. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, seeks to heal that brokenness. Yet another impact of the fall is what we might call systemic injustice. The brokenness of cultures, the brokenness of societies, even this society, the American society, which we might say is the best nation on earth. We could say that. That's fine. Nevertheless, it's broken. And as good Presbyterians, which I am, I know, I don't know about the rest of you, but that brokenness touches every aspect of our lives. And the result is we live in societies that perpetuate human misery. Political, economic, social systems which oppress and wound, separate. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, seeks to heal that brokenness just as much as it seeks to heal the brokenness of our individual lives. The call of the kingdom of God is to work for the opposite. So instead of systemic injustice, we need to work for systemic justice. Not punitive justice, restorative justice. Structural, social, economic, political systems that are marked by restorative justice that create the possibility of human flourishing. What the Bible calls shalom. Throughout the biblical story, especially in the Old Testament, the biblical voices protest the systemic injustice of the kingdoms of this world, the empires, the great nations who dominate and do so, and they speak that voice on the behalf of the victims, slaves in Egypt, exiles in Babylon, exploited peasants and workers, the poor, the widow, the orphans, the refugee, the marginalized, the least, the left out, and the left behind. This morning in Roundtables, Dean Merrill taught a magnificent class. I assume that most of what you taught is in your book. Is that right? So go out and buy his book. Because his book, even though he may not use this language, is all about restorative justice. Everything that he talked about in the class this morning was about ways in which we can participate in restorative justice. What we as Christians are called to do, getting off of the issue of immigration and onto the issue of immigrants, people who count, whom God loves, who God gave himself for so that shalom could enter their lives, not just individually, personally, but also systemically. These voices from Scripture advocate for a very different vision of our life together. They are voices which speak out against the domination systems that are politically oppressive, economically exploitive, and religiously corrupt. In contrast, the biblical voices speak for restorative justice and shalom in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the power of God is active in healing and exorcising individual demonic activity, but it's also exorcising collective demonic activity. The powers and the authorities that reign, not because God has given them power, but because the usurper has taken power. In the kingdom of God, Caesar is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. And because Jesus is Lord, the kingdom of God is marked by self-sacrificial love, a kingdom in which the poor and the marginalized are cared for rather than exploited, a kingdom that is marked by healing and wholeness, restoration, reconciliation, renewal, not only in our own individual lives, but in society as a whole. That is at the heart of the matter. Father, I ask that you would take this message and that which comes from you, you would send an arrow into our hearts that does not allow us to leave here this morning unchanged. In Jesus' name, amen.